The 2018 Teaching Series in the USA. Heart Drop of My Heart Advice. 5. Speaker, Kenpo Sotrum Nodro. For more lectures, please visit our official website, www.luminouswisdom.org.
하여튼이 정말라 쇼파텔라컨 삼주 주인.
A very good morning to everyone.
하여튼이 당하죠. 대란가티니 주저주자진 군주그리스.
And we are going to begin now with our teaching.
하여튼이 가성 연출라 하여튼이 가서 실당거 하여튼이 주냠슬린 하여튼이 종지다 하여튼이 디나네 하여튼이 토몽고 하여튼이 혼조 토몽마인비 혼조 So, Nyamlin, the Nishesser, Mundo, or the Sama, the Ponda, the Shatsar songs.
So, what we have covered so far has been the overall framework or overall structure for a path of practice. And yesterday, we also looked at the preliminary practices, both the outer preliminaries and the inner preliminaries.
Tanita Terang, not so the Nisanga, or the Nishaka is.
And today we are going to be looking at the practice of the secret mantra.
Tani sanghak tani korte yinam sanjib chumdun de tani rang tani jig yo pickups de sanghak korte tani jachimbo tani song yo mares kombo kombo na ma to pa jachimbo song yo mares.
During the actual lifetime of the Shakyamuni Buddha, Vajrayana teachings were not given by him on any great scale. Yeah, so the but the Buddha made a prophecy that in the future the Vajrayana teachings would disseminate very widely. However, when the Buddha did live, or when he was alive, he did give teachings on the Vajrayana, but only on a small scale.
Tini tinala tini sang kati nyamsilin linserti yang tini chongzitsu ngatsu shirtanga mdo nala sombati dang mandra andra pores.
So in terms of the actual methods of practice of the Vajrayana, they have some differences to those that are contained in the sutras.
Tini zuotu tabshi gitola tini mandra wa mambu yores.
So the main thing is that in the Vajrayana tradition, there are many different methods of practice. And in terms of view, generally all of the views that are contained in the sutric tradition are accepted by the tantric tradition too. So the views that are expounded in the sutric tradition are refined and clarified in the even more in the tantric tradition.
So
in terms of Vajrayana practice in Tibet, there are two different kinds. So these two divisions are the inner tantras and the outer tantras. We have this distinction between inner and outer. And in terms of the outer tantras, these are texts and teachings that are also present in the Chinese Buddhist tradition.
yinang tarta tini wang kariyan rab, shirtang ti nangla tini wang kari jita tini yori ta tarta tini janaka tini chuk nangla tini wang kariyan ta so tini yachimbo mendoosi.
So even though there are empowerments, tantric empowerments in the Outer Tantra, in the Chinese Buddhist tradition these days, essentially this tradition hasn't been maintained on a large scale. But the texts pertaining to these empowerments still do exist in the Chinese tradition. And the tantric tradition then spread from China to Japan. And then in the Japanese tradition of Tantra, I've heard that there is still a tradition of giving empowerments, whether or not how that is in practice, I'm not sure. So the other kind of Tantra is the inner Tantra. So all of the contents of the inner tantras derived from India and were brought to Tibet from India. So when the tantric teachings were first disseminated to Tibet from India in the monasteries of old in Tibet, there were many tantras written in Sanskrit and printed on the original paper made from tree leaves. But the tantric tradition in about the 12th, the 11th or 12th centuries declined in India. So in the world today, in terms of Buddhist followers of the Vajrayana tradition, aside from the Tibetan tradition, in other places it doesn't exist. So originally the Vajrayana traditions existed in India. However, after they declined there, the only place where they existed was Tibet. Insofar as Tibet is concerned, the tradition of giving empowerments and transmissions, instructions on practice, all of these tantras and traditions are preserved in their completeness in Tibet. In the past, looking at the history of the Tantra, previously it spread to Sri Lanka. But that is doesn't exist there anymore.
There's the Tarchip Tungoyores.
And then later, the Tantra, the Tantric tradition was translated from the Tibetan into Chinese, and then much later into Western languages, and in this way gained a relatively wide dissemination. So in Tibet, the first founder of the Vajrayana, or the disseminator of the Vajrayana, was Guru Rinpoche. However, Guru Rinpoche was by no means the sole disseminator of the Vajrayana tradition in Tibet. In addition to him, subsequent to him, there were many, many people who did translation work, who gave empowerments, who brought lineages from India to Tibet. So there were many people who invested great effort in ensuring the dissemination of the Vajrayana in Tibet. So in terms of the internal divisions of the Vajrayana tradition, in the Nyingma school, we have three sub-categories or classifications: the Mahayoga, the Anuyoga, and Atiyoga.
Then Mahayoga tin nangla zo tin kirim gu kor de zo tin kachimbo shin tin songores.
So the Mahayoga mainly correlates with generation stage practice. It contains a great deal of teachings on the generation stage.
Tani wang karlugta, tani di mare la gumlugta, tani ngak tani janglugta, tani jengkhur tani shilola, jengkhur tani jachimbo tani zosarta, Tinim chupa panaya, chupa jachimbu, chupa dam chipiguni, chupa mbasrta, tiso de mambo, titini mahayoga nani yungoyores.
So things like the instructions on giving empowerments, deity yoga, mantra recitation, the construction of large mandalas, and also the implementation of large rituals, these are all things that are contained in the Mahayoga. And there are some things within this contents that seem to be very similar or very close to Hinduism. Fire ceremonies. Or burnt offerings, right. So fire ceremonies, burnt offerings were considered very important in the Hindu tradition, and they are also carried out in the Vajrayana. So there are some people, some researchers, who say that because of these similarities, therefore Vajrayana is a kind of Hinduism. However, this conclusion is only based on a superficial understanding, a lack of understanding of the inner meaning of the Vajrayana.
So si thoni deni shomba indi deni tez tez shok shok la la legal letter da tsu shopa da tsu tolan jabu kap kap si yong re si de ma so sanga mai nam do shola tin din jabu na yo re kap kap sa.
Because Buddhism and Hinduism, they both arose from the same place, namely from India, in terms of the way that certain components of the religion, especially rituals and the execution of rituals, there are from time to time similarities in the Buddhist Vajrayana between the Vajrayana and Hinduism. But this isn't the case just in Vajrayana. It's also the case in the sutric tradition too, that there are similarities and ritual similarities between Buddhism and Hinduism.
Pejana ngatso tini tarta yena tini tindiri pe na tsarik kyang tini ngupo so tini jeshong tangni tini khorang ka tini tga ngupo chawala tini jimchu chege yore nangbe yang tini chege yore.
And we can say that similarities between Buddhism and other traditions exist nowadays too. For example, scientists, the current practice in science is to increasingly reduce the objects of investigation until they're very small particles. And this is something that Buddhism does too. It constantly reduces the object under investigation.
Then partana nika yang teni ngupo la jimjik je patang teni ngupo te yang jechong tane nolik chi banda por yes ina te nangtong ko toni yang kaga susur yes.
So just looking at things on the surface, it would seem, well, both the scientific tradition and Buddhism investigate matter. Both are interested in reducing matter to an increasingly small size. However, the content of these traditions in terms of what they're focusing on is completely different. So that's the Mahayoga, and then moving on to the Anayoga. The Anayoga is a level higher than the Mahayoga.
The Anayoga is Samlo Tangna, the Ningatsu Perna, the Mi Li, Korang Murang, Mosusoranga Li, the Dinitola, the Nizada, Longdan, Tli, or is it? The Nitsu, the Niyapo, the Niyam Selena, the Ni Garchishu, the Nitiri is it? Shulola Penangazo, the Nimchopa Yachim Bombarianda, the Nishin Kurtini, the Tangaga Jankur, the Nijinada, Jankur, the Nishin, Anioka, Mayoka, and the Nishuba Yachim Bombari. The Stuba Tiso, go Mundu, some net in the Tinisamgur, is my Anioka.
So in Anayoga, the primary practice hinges on the manipulation of the winds, channels, and drops. So this is the focus of the Anayoga, and it doesn't consider as important big rituals, the construction of mandala, and in general, large ritual ceremonies.
Then Mahayoga nangla tindi de chuba tini man de jengkorda de so chuba tindi ja chimbo tini tindi jiyo ji de yimsen de gari jina ta mukashi zi tindi jina ga yo ri zi mukashi de tini shilo lam chu pam bri ge ndom ba mon bon don ge la go mi ya na dang ya tindi la ga ri tini tindi la gang king ge ma ti tini tindi go ni nyam lin chi ne tini rimbe 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 tini ta yar chi yar jin ro ri
In the Mahayoga, the reason why we have deity yoga and big rituals, the construction of mandalas, the accumulation of mantras, the making of offerings and the like, the reason that we have all of these things is for some practitioners, these activities really appeal to them. And so therefore, by practicing, doing these practices, step by step, level by level, they will be able to advance their practice. In the Anu Yoga, however, the focus on the winds, drops, and channels is considered sufficient.
Tani Mahayoga la tuna, tani Anu Yoga, tani koranga tawa te tsiyar jim tu sungo res, tawa te Anu Yoga ga tawa te Mahayoga le te tsim tu res.
And in terms of the view of the Anu Yoga is somewhat higher than that of the Mahayoga.
Tani Anu Yoga ina, tani mo, tani lipo, tsa, long, tili, tsu, nesir te pe, ha le pa tang zabo, shigyo res.
And in the Anu Yoga, the Anu Yoga has a very profound and very deep understanding of the subtle body, the channels, the winds, and the drops. So for an Anu Yoga practitioner, it is considered sufficient to work with one's body, to practice through one's body, and it's not considered necessary to rely on external mandalas or anything like this.
Anu Yoga.
So for Anu Yoga practitioners, the focus of their practice is primarily this, the practice of the winds, drops, and channels. In terms of the goal, the ultimate goal of the practice of Anu Yoga, it's no different from that of Atta Yoga. By means of practice through the winds, drops, and channels, the ultimate goal is to gain a realization of the innermost nature of mind. So there's no difference in the ultimate goal of practice. So even though the purpose or the goal is the same, the methods of practice are different. At the level of Mahayoga practice, external objects are rendered in a very elaborate way. So there is much elaboration of rituals, of empowerment procedures, of mandalas, and so forth.
Tene penangatsu tene dorji re, tene jiru re.
In the Mahayoga practice, objects, ritual objects such as the Vajra and the bell, these are used with great elaboration. And in the Mahayoga, things like ritual music, mantra, offerings, these are all done on a really elaborate kind of grand, splendid scale.
Tani Anu Yoga nala lep sarti tani ta chupati so meni tani tabdebu re sa tabdebu tani shi ore so 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 rang lipo thola nyamlin ma to jamba mambo me pa shi ni tab jibdi sung ore
When one reaches Anuyoga, the Anuyoga level of practice, however, all of this splendor and elaborateness is cast aside for simplicity. So Anuyoga is a more simple approach to practice where one relies primarily on one's own body as a vehicle of practice.
Tini ane yoga tini nanton tsuwoto tini kerem da zorum niki nane tsuwote di zorum re.
So in the Anuyoga, the main component of Anuyoga is of completion and generation and completion stage practice. The focus is completion stage practice.
Tani ta ti jima ngoma te tani Atiyoga zegres.
And then following Anuyoga is Atiyoga.
Tani ana de Atiyoga tila tani ngatso namjin ngatso tani zogba chimbo zene tani yang zegres.
So Atiyoga means dogchen. Atiyoga is the level of dogchen practice.
Tani ati yoga tini samlo tana kandi rizina tini shuluk ko tini ngaso tini jankhorda la gomya ta tsu kora ngak mangpo jongya tsu yang go mendu samne tini samgre sa ati yoga.
So at the level of ati yoga, there isn't an emphasis on external mandalas, deity practice, mantra recitation. These things are not considered necessary.
Tani ti thola tini salung thuli mangpo gomya.
And practice on winds, drops, and channels are also considered not necessary. So at the level of Atta Yoga, the method of practice is one that is even more simple than that of both the Anuyoga and the Mahayoga.
Tani kwarangu tini nyamlin shisar ti ta pena Anuyoga ta shini ngasu liga tini chalung thili teyong gomguma rezi. So ti simla o ti thakar tini simga thola rune te nyamlin chigarez.
So whereas in the Anuyoga one practices through the winds, drops and channels, at the level of Atiyoga one practices directly on one's mind or through one's mind. And the attitude of this level of practice is that one doesn't need anything more beyond recognizing the nature of one's mind. So even though this, of course, is the attitude of the Mahayoga and the Anuyoga as well, that nothing more is required than realizing the basic nature of our mind, nevertheless, in order to achieve this, many different methods are required. So that is the approach of the Mahayoga.
Mahayoga da Anuyoga ni ka ge na sim gi ni lu to na da ju kre ti le jam pa go ma ri ta yin na yang sim gi ni lu to go na teni ta long thi le gom ba ta teni ti chen khor ta ta so go re sam ne kho chu tin di sam ga re tin di sung ga re ze Mahayoga da Anuyoga ni ka.
So despite the fact that the ultimate goal of both Mahayoga and Anuyoga practice is to realize the nature of one's mind, they require the use or the practice of the mandala and the subtle body practices.
Tani ate yoga zena te tapsi yore ze tene pena Mahayoga andra potindi yang go mare Anuyoga andra potindi yang go mare tile jambi tapsi yore ti jambi tapsi te tab dipo go ne.
But what the attitude of the Atiyoga is that there is a way to recognize the nature of one's mind without needing the methods of the Mahayoga or those of the Anuyoga. That is, the attitude of the Atiyoga is that we can rely on a really simple method, a method of great simplicity to directly recognize the nature of mind.
딘디 옌디 디니 마하요가 아나요가 아디요가 선보데 코소가 답식이 돈에 있나 디니 답 집디 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 로요레스.
So we can see, looking at the Mahayoga, the Anayoga, and the Atayoga, that in terms of their methods, they become increasingly more simple. So by the time, by the level of the Atta Yoga, the Atta Yoga uses a method of utmost simplicity to enable practitioners to recognize the essence of their minds or recognize Rigpa. However, in the Mahayoga and Anayoga classes of teachings, there are no methods that are as simple as this. So we can say that the difference between the three classes of practice is one of a higher practice, more middling practice, and a more lower practice.
Then, that other yoga, that then you saw the same got all that, then you saw nyamlin sama same got all that, then you see the reason in that so going to just was.
So, as we just said, Atta Yoga primarily concerns practice directly on the mind or with the mind.
Then you sim the young at the ni shalone, then you tana at the shalone tana, then you me sim zena, then it's a much chingabo, namto kanda kangina, sim thing at the chingabo mato bangatu tana, sim the latini rumbati di mambuzio pati, not to namkin the sheet of kumaris.
Normally, when we are just having a superficial understanding of the mind, it seems that the mind is all the same thing. We don't understand that there are many different levels or layers of the mind. However, in the Atta Yoga teachings, the different layers of the mind
are set out, are taught.
Within the Atta Yoga teachings, within the Dzogchen practices, there are different levels of practice that pertain to different depths of the layers of the mind. So there are practices that really work with very deep, profound layers of the mind. There are practices that work with layers of the mind that are not as deep. And so we have these distinctions, these many different levels of practice in the Dzogchen teachings. All of them relate to the mind. However, there are distinctions in terms of the depth and profundity of the level that is being worked with. Some practitioners will start off with a less profound or less deep level and then will progress from there. So Dzogchen speaks of four different levels, the outer, the inner, the secret, and the innermost secret levels.
So
Teachings or cycles of teaching, such as the Longchen Nyingtik, the Nyingtik Yabshi, the Jetsu Nyingtik, these are all the most advanced level of Dzogchen teachings. So that's just a brief introduction of the Mahayoga, Anuyoga, and Atiyoga.
So as
we just said, the Mahayoga level is mainly generation stage practice, Anuyoga is mainly completion stage practice, and Atiyoga is an indivisibility of generation and completion stage. So in terms of practice in Tibet, or at least for Nyingma practitioners, the core practice is Dzogchen. However, we do also practice Mahayoga and Anuyoga practices.
So
because we do also practice Mahayoga and Anuyoga, practitioners go on retreat, they do deity yoga practice, they accumulate mantra. There aren't many practices like this in the Dzogchen tradition. However, if one's practice is solely Dzogchen meditation, then it's rather difficult for one to reach a high level of practice, a high level of realization. It's important that practitioners proceed in their practice step by step. So going through the Mahayana, starting with Mahayoga practices. And as for Anuyoga practice, so subtle body practices of the winds, channels, and drops, if a practitioner is able to do these practices, then this is also very good. And so we can say that, for example, the Atiyoga level of practice incorporates the practice or the content of the development and completion stages. Even though it incorporates this content, its core focus isn't these things. So these days in Tibet, particularly among practitioners of the Nyingma tradition, the path of practice usually goes like this. It usually begins with people properly completing the preliminary exercises, then doing some degree of deity practice, mantra recitation, gaining a basic familiarity with Anuyoga, winds, drops, and channels, and then going on to Dzogchen practice, which is their core practice. So for most Nyingma students of the Nyingma in Tibet, this is the course of practice these days. But for all of these practices, their ultimate purpose is exactly the same, and that is to recognize the essence of mind. There's no difference between the ultimate goal.
아니 다득 뭐만이나 되니 가서 견코르즈니 되니 만달아즈니 견코르즈니 되니 송고요나 견코르 뭐마데 가서 실로라 되니 레근고라 되니 지요나 탕 탕하고라 지요나 연다 드르그든지 레요나 견코르 뭐마데 틸라제요 마르지 테 견코르 그 즈민다 버레 견코르 뭐마데 수소랑 그 심궁고 틸라 견코르즈게 버레
When we speak of a mandala, well, the ultimate mandala is not the mandala that we draw on paper or paint on a tanka or perhaps construct using powder. All of these are only symbols of the mandala. The ultimate mandala is one's mind.
Then, mahada ana at the symbol yogu gimsente kangrezena, then, mi rig latin, then, yamlin chinging the mutisola, rigdamata mambo yores. Then, it's hamad in it zoba chimbo tambo ne gumjana.
And the reason that we have these, or the reason for these three classes of teachings, Mahayoga, Anayoga, and Atayoga, is due to the different capacities of people, the different kinds of people that there are. There are some people who might start off with Dzogchen practice and come along well with their practice and realization, but for many people that isn't the case. And then there are some people to whom Anayoga practice, winds, drops and channels, this appeals to them. They like this kind of practice. But then there are people who don't like the or don't prefer the complexity of deity practice and practice on the winds, drops and channels. What they prefer is an approach of greater simplicity. Even though the three poisons of desire, attachment, and anger are something that everyone has, people are different differ in terms of which is stronger. So for some people, desire is particularly strong. For others, it's anger, whereas for others, it's ignorance. If a person has very strong anger, then practices of the Mahayoga contain many antidotes to anger, many methods of resolving anger successfully. And for people for whom desire is particularly strong, then the practice of Anuyoga is particularly effective because there are many methods of transforming desire into the wisdom of the Buddha.
Tini shik chenpo, tini tumuk shik chenpo zaya te, tini mga tini sem gana la ta chuba tini gya chenpo mambu mundung khen, tini ndopa mengkhen, tini shilok chuba gya chenpo pena chenkor yin na lhat zaya tisola chuba mengkhen, shir tang tabdi po la gangkhen gom mo tini zhe, tini tumuk shi chewa mo yi tisogo, tini zogba chenpo, tini gom na tini tabdi po yore, te tilam chok gres.
And then there are for those who have strong ignorance, people who don't like a lot of fancy elaborateness of ritual and deity practice. They prefer an approach of much greater simplicity than dzogchen practice meets their tastes.
所以
whether it is the teachings and the methods of the sutras or the tantras, the ultimate view of all of these practices is to address, to eliminate the afflictions of the mind, desire, attachment, anger, and so forth. This is the ultimate purpose and the ultimate view of all of these teachings. And there are many ways of dealing with these afflictions. So at the level of the vehicle of the listeners, then the afflictions of desire, anger, and attachment are considered enemies. They're considered a bad, negative, things to be eliminated and cast away.
And so
in this vehicle, there are many, many methods taught for eliminating these afflictions and separating ourselves from them at a very great distance. At the level of the Mahayana practice, specifically the level of the vehicle of perfections, then afflictions, negative thoughts and emotions, they're still seen as negative, but they are considered to be able to be transformed into a transformed positively. So we can liken it to some kind of medicine that to begin with is a poison, but through particular processes of refinement is able to be turned into a medicine that when someone takes is actually of benefit to them. So the Mahayana teaches many methods for transforming afflictions into positive forces that can assist our practice.
The Mahayoga entry, Angato, the Sang Shibazi and the Taricola Chasson, the Sang Shibatida, Matun Dog, the Nitawa Nicola, Chapertizi or the Chapert Chimbuyo Maris.
So when we get to the Vajrayana teachings, well, just as we spoke about before, there are the outer tantras. The view of the outer tantric teachings is somewhat slightly different from that of the sutric traditions, but in actual fact, it's not too different. It's quite closely related.
Nyomong ba tini thakshu shilig la tini ndo da ni khyapar chimbun ro yores.
However, from the level of Mahayoga upwards, then the means or the methods for dealing with afflictions are very different from those of the sutras.
Then you sound at any Mahayoga and Adiyoga and Anayoga, symbol the Koto Tama or Samutana, Matsudini Nyumumba, Matsudini Simgunala, you've been Dochaja Dantamuk Nyumumba de Tso, then you got to deal nearly the Yabos Machina, then you got in the Dugbores, the Natsola Noba Mambo Shigre. You know, then you corang and go Yabo Shizona, or then you dig in Yumumbazia, then dig a Dugbumare, then it is longer.
So what the Vajrayana teaches at the level of Mahayoga, Anayoga, and Atayoga is that the afflictions of our mind, desire, attachment, anger, and so forth, if we don't understand the essence of these afflictions, then yes, they're negative, they're harmful to us. However, if we understand, realize, recognize their essence, then they are not harmful to us.
The name, Nyumumbandasutamaga Nangla, then a parshilong nitana or the tamatin in Yumumbares, in and the Yumumbatis or Nala, Ishiores, the Sanji Ishiore, then at so Hakosona, then Yumumbatis or Dubomares on it in this ongores.
So, what the Vajrayana teaches is that looking at them on the outside or from the outside, afflictions are negative. However, within them is wisdom. Within them is the wisdom of the Buddha.
Then, that's when nyomong baga nani yishi desara lengyo res.
And so, what we need to do is extract the wisdom from within the afflictions.
Per nang aso dini ta dini shir yinarin dini zang yinarin. Daso samang aso tambo terka nani yong bares.
So if we look at this lid, the top of it is crystal and the below bit is made of bronze and all of these, to begin with, derive from minerals. However, when they are first mined, they don't appear as they do. They just appear like a kind of rock. For those, however, who don't recognize that these mineral rocks actually have very precious mineral substances inside them, they would just take these rocks away and use them to build some steps going up to their house, or to build a bird enclosure or a pig enclosure. Because they don't understand the value of the rock. However, if a specialist were to look at this rock, they would understand that contained within it is another substance. And they would understand that within this rock, inside it, is a very precious substance. However, for those who take the rocks away to build their bird or pig enclosures, will not be able to extract the precious substance from the rocks. However, the technology for extracting the precious substances, there are many different levels of technology. For those who don't have a particularly sophisticated kind of technology for extracting the precious substances, they will extract one kind of precious substance from the rock and thinking that the rest is just sediment or rubbish, just throw it away.
Tini korang ke samlo tana tini tinani do nani rimbochi len sarsungwa ta ti shila yo pil hama ti gahni gda pore samne tini samgo yore se korang ke inna.
And they would think that, oh, I've extracted the precious substance from the rock and everything that is left over, the dregs are just like rubbish. And the reason for this is that people like this don't have a high-level technology or apparatus at their disposal. For those who have a more advanced level of technology to extract the precious minerals or precious substances, not only will they extract the first substance from the rock, but they'll also go and collect the dregs that have been thrown away and be able to extract precious substances from them too. So for a rock deposit of this size, those who have really only basic methods at their disposal are only able to extract one kind of precious substance. And everything that's left, they treat as rubbish, they throw it away or they sell it to other people. However, for those people who have sophisticated technology available to them from the same rock deposit, they are able to extract all a great array of different precious substances.
And
the various afflictions of our mind, the desire, anger, attachment, and so forth, actually these are just like precious mineral containing rocks. The approach of the vehicle of the listeners would be that these rocks are to be thrown away or otherwise they're to be taken to build one's house with or one's pig or bird enclosure. And the approach of the Mahayana is those of people who only are know to extract one kind of precious substance from the rock. And the approach of the Vajrayana is one of people who are able to extract all the different precious substances that exist in the rock from it. So that's why it is taught that in the Vajrayana, if practitioners are able to realize, to recognize the essence of these afflictions, then this becomes the wisdom of the
Buddha.
In the Mahayana tradition, because everyone is recognized as having or being Buddha nature, then from the sutras upwards,
the 대도전의 광시 다바스리 런탕당 담바스리즈 대 도시르당가 도단자가 말이지.
Because the Mahayana tradition recognizes the Buddha nature in everyone, in everyone's mind, from the sutric tradition upwards, all minds are regarded as rocks containing precious mineral deposits and are regarded as extremely precious and valuable. So in terms of the relationship between the sutras and the tantras, it is one of the view becoming increasingly refined and the methods become increasingly refined
too.
And so the approach or the view of afflictions becomes increasingly advanced or increasingly higher. So it's for this reason that in the Nyingma tradition we speak of there being nine vehicles or nine levels. And these nine different levels or vehicles derive from different approaches or attitudes to afflictions. And because there are due to different approaches or attitudes to afflictions, there are correspondingly different methods of dealing with them. So that's just a general overview of the view or the approach of the Vajrayana. And if you were to study this in detail, it would be really great. So ultimately, in terms of the view, the sutras and the tantras are the same. At the level of the vehicle of the perfections, at the beginning of these teachings, the view is somewhat different. So even though the vehicle of perfections starts off slowly, it gradually progresses. There are different levels or bhumis of realization in the vehicle of the perfections. And when a practitioner reaches the first bhumi, they realize that the view of the sutras and the tantras is in fact the same. For a beginner to the Vajrayana, those who are interested in gaining a deeper understanding can look at Mipham Rinpoche's commentary, The Heart Essence of Luminosity, of the Guyugaba Tantra. So this text, The Heart Essence of Luminosity, is a very clear text. It really clearly sets out and covers the Vajrayana tradition.
나주 상학 토라 데니 셔당거 고와 약볼힘 그래.
And if you were to read this book, then you would be able to gain a good general understanding of the Vajrayana. So if we look now at the text that we are studying, verse 17 is concerned with generation stage practice. So we need to gain a little understanding of the development and completion stage practices. Generation stage practice primarily hinges on the meditation on different deities, different idams. So when we meditate or we visualize different deities, whether they be peaceful or wrathful, we're primarily visualizing the body, the form of the deity, similar to the human body. And when we do deity practice, we also recite mantra. And so this mantra it corresponds with the speech of the deity. So with generation stage practice, meditating on the deity and reciting mantra, in addition to this, it's also important that we realize the view. And when we do realize or recognize the view, then this is considered the mind of the deity. So through these three practices, we cover the body, the speech, and the mind of the deity. So when we do deity practice, the focus of it is visualizing oneself in the form of the deity. When we visualize our body as that of the idam, well, is our body really the body of the idam? Many people will think, asking themselves these questions, well, if I were the idam, then I can't see myself. When I look at myself, I am just an ordinary being.
And
so people might think, well, if I am, my body isn't that of the deity, then imagining my body in the form of the deity doesn't have any benefit. Just like if a dog comes up to us and bites us, just thinking, oh, I'm the Buddha, is of no use. And actually, the Vajrayana teachings often talk about this.
나랑 상계 연 산이든지 삼나든지 켜 잠깐 말해.
If I'm not the Buddha, but I just think I'm the Buddha, then this is of no use. The what? Oh, the lion. Oh, lion. Sorry. Okay. So I mistranslated that before. It shouldn't be thinking oneself is the Buddha. It should be thinking of oneself as a lion when one's not a lion. So just thinking of oneself as a lion when one is not won't make the dog scared.
Oh yeah. Tendi yindi tendi nga so karte nga lang so tendi yetam mayin na nga yetam yin san tendi gom na tendi nga so tari nga sangge yin san ye gom ba ta sigrin do res.
And so it said that just as thinking, viewing oneself as a lion when one is not is the same as thinking one is a deity when one is not. And so it's just like deceiving oneself. And therefore of no benefit. So the first thing that we need to resolve is whether or not there is a difference between us and the idam. At the level of the vehicle of the perfections, then in terms of this question, the difference between ourselves and the deity, the answer would be that there is a very vast, vast difference, that deities are all Buddhas, they're like gods, we are just ordinary mortal beings, and so of course there is a great difference between the two.
So
in the Tantra, we have the level, the two different truths, the relative truth and the ultimate truth. These two truths, of course, they're also in the sutras too. So what the Vajrayana teachings say is that, yes, looking at things on the surface, there is a big difference between ourselves and the deity. We are not like the deity, and the deity is not like us, and so there is a really big difference. But what we actually really have to look at is whether in essence, in actuality, there is a difference between the two. And in assessing this, we really need to look at the mind. If we don't understand the essence of the mind, if we haven't recognized Rigpa, then yes, we have afflictions, negative thoughts, and all of these are very negative. However, if we are able to recognize the essence of our minds, then the moment that we do so, our afflictions cease to be afflictions and become instead the wisdom of the Buddha. And this indeed is then the essence of our mind. So this is what the sutric teachings say.
And Tini shilog la tini sanje chuta gendan zaya te gandizi la nguzung go nga su khasang kong da chamro kapsu shepa tere is.
In Buddhism, we regard the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the three jewels, as extremely important. How we regard them in an external sense, yesterday we talked about in our teaching.
Tini nang ka tini kumchoksum za kumchoksum ngomate kang re zina nga zo tini sem ki tini ngote kumchoksum re sone te songore te nga zo sangha ma tsat pe na jil la ma ta wa tini ka mdo ga nang la nga tini songkanda waas.
However, as for the internal three jewels, the real three jewels, these are said to be the essence, the basic essence of our mind. And this is not just the approach of the Vajrayana, but this is also the approach of sutric texts like the Uttara Tantra. So that at its innermost level, our mind is the essence of our mind is the wisdom of the Buddha. This is also taught by the sutras. And so there is no debate between the sutric and tantric teachings that the innermost essence of the mind is the wisdom of the Buddha. And in fact, in the sutric teachings, the vehicle of the perfections, there are many sutras that expound a view of depth and profundity like that of the tantras. However, this isn't the main focus or main emphasis of the sutras. It's a peripheral discussion. So even though the sutras do expound the view that the innermost essence of the mind is the wisdom of the Buddha, they don't contain methods of practice. So they don't take the premise that if our the nature of our mind now is the wisdom of the Buddha, then how should we practice? They don't contain practice methods geared towards this.
Tendi yendi nga tsogo tini tarta partana tini matak pa tini simchinda tendi nyomu bada tendi nanga yore tila sanga kanala tila gunzub denba zeg yore tini nga tson churwari zeg yore.
So now what we perceive, the impure appearances that we appear, afflicted beings and so forth, are in the Vajrayana teachings considered to be a relative truth or an illusory appearance.
Tini tonga tolat kandri zina te nga tso wo te sem ga tini ngo te tini sanji ki ishi ta chikpa yin tini chikpa thuma nga ma ni tarta ga barta tonga tolat tini re sum kore.
But in actuality, our minds have always been, since primordial times up until now, the wisdom of the Buddha. So this in the Vajrayana teachings is considered the ultimate truth.
So
So because the essence of our mind is Buddha nature, these the many deities that appear, that manifest with many hands and many arms, some peaceful, some wrathful, despite their diversity of appearance, they are all considered to be manifestations of Buddha nature.
Deni dong thola nga chu deni sang ka ta wa din di de ndi dorji ndim song go yore ndi tem sun sun ya ge chedres.
And this view is symbolized in the Vajrayana with this dorji.
Deni ndi dorji de la deni tan de dorji se gun ra pore deni se sim yin kan din di yore ndi shog ta ola ni ka se sim ma to men kan din di yore.
This is a Vajra with what? Nine prongs? Yes. Verses 3. And there are some Vajras with five prongs. So the symbolism of this Vajra is that the lower part of the Vajra symbolizes us as ordinary beings.
And the
upper part of the Vajra symbolizes us in the state of Buddhahood. And just putting it simply, when we have a three-pronged Vajra, the three prongs symbolize the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha, or according to the Dzogchen perspective, the three wisdoms of the Buddha. So these three qualities or these three aspects, body, speech, and mind of Buddhahood and our body, speech, and mind as ordinary beings, in actuality, they are the same. So if there are five prongs on top of the Vajra, then there are five prongs on the bottom. If there are three on top, there will also be three on the bottom. However, in the middle of the Vajra, there is only always one.
And
the fact that there is only one part of the Vajra in the middle, this symbolizes that all of the wisdom that we possess in the state of Buddhahood, in fact, we already possess now in our current state. And in fact, this view is also propounded, or a view very similar to this is also propounded in the deepest and most profound sutras.
That's it.
So in the sutras, an example is given. It is said, if we took a great piece of cloth and were to draw upon it every part of the world to scale, so all of the oceans where they are and all of the mountains and cities where they are.
Then, then it is that in the chimbote, then it that then the yachimbote, the chishungu tonit, and zambalanga chishung and up chupachikan is.
And the if the size of this piece of cloth was exactly the same as the size of the world, And if a person was to take this entire picture and then the jima kanana juk.
The rigzi chimbu, the dini korang chik, zimtur, chung 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 chung, shini, dini, the dundus chikanala juk janas.
Let's say.
Jukbaris,
And if a person were to take this great piece of cloth and to roll it up so small and then stuff it inside a sesame seed, somebody just looking at this sesame seed would just think it's a sesame seed. They wouldn't think it's anything else. However, within that sesame seed would be the world in its completeness. And so this is an example, a metaphor. And this is a metaphor to illustrate that all people were on the surface appear to be humans. However, within every person are the complete qualities of the Buddha. So we as humans are like sesame seeds.
Oh yeah.
Great piece of cloth that is contained within the sesame seed is just like the Buddha nature and the qualities of the Buddha that are contained within us. And this is usually said, propounded, taught in the sutras. Even though the sutras do expound this view, in terms of how to go about practicing, if our original nature is that of Buddha nature, aside from very general instructions, methods that are set out as clearly as those of the tantras don't exist. So that is what the Vajra in the Vajrayana illustrates. So what the Vajra symbolizes is at the top we have the Buddha's wisdom, the qualities of the Buddhism, and what the Vajra is showing is that all of these qualities and this Buddha, the wisdom of the Buddha, we already possess in completeness in our minds. And it's important that we continue to study this view a great deal. It's not just as easy as that.
teni jima me pa tang teni sangji gi yishi teni re zini shana tete z kola bo yu ji res.
However, if we say that the essence of the essence of our minds is stainless, is the wisdom of the Buddha, if we put it this way, then it's relatively easy to understand.
Then in the Dorje de la Tsechik Matum me bat in the Yores, the Yapsholand, the Tsechik, the Oland, the Tsechik Matum, the Sum me bat in the Yores.
And then there are Vajras that have just one prong at the bottom, one prong at the top, and they don't have the other parts. So in actual fact, this Vajra appears much like a stick. It doesn't have the bowl, but the top or the bottom. And so what this kind of Vajrayana symbolizes is the same thing. At the top we have the wisdom of the Buddha, below we have the wisdom of ordinary sentient beings, and what this Vajra conveys is that there is no difference between the two. And so what it shows or tells or communicates is that the basic essence or basic nature of the Buddha is of no difference to our own basic nature or essence. So it's just the same as all of us, all of our physical bodies are made up of particles, atoms and molecules. In this respect, all of us are exactly the same. There is absolutely no difference whatsoever. The only difference that does exist is that in terms of our external appearances, there's a bit of difference between people. However, it's true that in terms of the essence of our physical bodies, that there is no difference. And it's the same in terms of our minds. In terms of the essence of our minds, there's no difference between it and that of the wisdom of the Buddha.
Then mandawa ke khapar ra ode kang rezina ga chu tini sim ge tini shilo ko namba namba te te zinda yo mares.
The only difference is that the external appearances of our minds are somewhat diverse or different. So in studying the Vajrayana, it's really useful if we learn with implements like the bell and the Vajra, because these implements that are these artistic ritual implements are symbols, they symbolize things. Just looking at the Vajra, we would think, oh, this really is a strange thing. It's got this thing at the top and it's got this thing at the bottom. However, when we understand what it symbolizes, then we know that it reflects the view of the Vajrayana. And on the bell, there are all kinds of drawings, all kinds of pictures. And there are pictures or drawings inside as well. And all of these two symbolize things that relate to the view of Vajrayana. So putting it in the most simple terms, we can say that the essence of the Vajrayana is that all beings, in terms of their basic essence, is exactly the same as that of the Buddha. The difference is only in terms of external appearances. However, in terms of what we mean by these things, internal essence and external appearances, we need to continue our studies because the meaning is perhaps not quite as simple as this. When we do recognize Rigpa, then we will at this point understand that in fact the Buddha is completely is no different to ourselves.
Oh, tendi yindi teni ta ngatsu tendi tawa te yakbo za hako tsari jini teni ta ngatsu su so rang yitam ga teni ha rang ga lipo te yitam ga ha gumna o tan jukendu sambandra o te hako res.
And when we have a good understanding of this view, then we will find it acceptable to meditate on the idam, to visualize ourselves in the form of the idam.
Oh, tanga tsu ti kapsa tini gumna o tanga rang yang tini tata nga tsu la nga rang partana tini nga rang yitam marita ina tanga rang sim ngu ti deshak nyambu yo tsarti yidam zina ti deshak nyambu korang katini nangwa tini japo rinduwa deshak nyambu nga rang la yore tindi o ta gumna mrukki mendu samba tindi hako res.
So even though just looking at things on the surface, it doesn't appear that I am like the idam because we understand that the essence of our mind is Buddha nature, then we have no problem with meditating, visualizing ourselves in the form of the deity. And when we practice deity yoga, there is a few points that we need to pay attention to.
Tini tambo nga tsu kirim gumbi kapsana, tini tambo tangkala tini muka tini tani gumgo res.
When we begin with the practice, we need to use a tanka image of the deity that we can look at.
Tini nga tsu pena tomba sanji shakyatapa rapozu tini gumna.
So if we say meditating on the Shakyamuni Buddha, then we need to acquire for ourselves a tanka image of the Shakyamuni Buddha. If it is too big or too small, it's not suitable. We need to find a tanka that is ranges from the size of the length of one hand to the length of from the tip of our hand to our elbow. This is an appropriate size range for a tanka.
Tani tanka de karte halipa tini chimbu tini yinsona nga su sim parhtat tini thukumare tini sim parayang ro re tindi tanka de chongchong da bogo re.
If the tanka that we use is really big, then our mind won't be able to focus on it. It'll wander away.
Tini tanka tini chabdukchi tini tanka de la rabni chigo re.
So after we have acquired for ourselves a tanka, the next thing we need to do is have it consecrated.
Tini tanka la ramni chi tsari kapsa tini susorang ka tini thaka tila jak gores tini partana tachosa thaka tila jak gores.
And after we have had it consecrated, we need to hang it or place it in a place that we can look at directly, so right in front of our eyes.
Tini thaka la jagne tini ngatsu mung nipo tega tini thaka tila tago re.
And after having placed it so, we need to look at the tanka with our two eyes.
Tini mung nika tanka la tani tini sim gana la tini nam tok chiga me pa she go re sim na gana tok sama par me pa she ni tini sim gana la chiang musam ni tini ndu go re.
And in gazing at the tanka in front of us, we need to bring our minds into a state without thought. So we need to let go of all thought activity. By being able to focus on the image in this way, we are able to really clearly focus on the image of the tanka. And the other advantage is being able to abide in a state of good state of meditative concentration. And by focusing on the image of the tanka for a long time, we will reach a point where the image of the deity automatically or naturally appears in our mind. And when we reach this point, then we no longer need to rely on a tanka. And after we are able to visualize very clearly the deity in our own mind, then we need to meditate thinking that we are the deity ourselves. The tanka painter paints deities of many diverse kinds. And some of us may give rise to doubts about whether or not this really is how the deities look like. In the Chinese tradition, some of these deities are represented differently. They might have long beards, or according to the Tang Dynasty style, they might have fatter faces. So the first monastery in Tibet that painted tankas was Samye Monastery. And the model or the basis that they used for rendering the deities of their images were the best-looking Tibetans at the time. So if Chinese gods look like Chinese people and Tibetan gods look like Tibetan people, then what do the real gods look like, people might wonder.
Shirtanga tini yemdawoti tindi yores. Tong ubu tola.
In actual fact, deities like Vajrasattva exist in reality as they are represented in tankas.
Pena dorji senwayna dini dorji dini thakar dini zongun kendao dini ga ta ta te mayna yetum susu susu la yang dini dama dama mangpondo a shirtanga ti yepti dini tongu thola dini yore is.
So, for example, Vajrasattva is represented holding a vajra, and other idams are represented in different ways. And generally speaking, this is how they are. So you might ask, well, how do we know that?
Yeah. Dzogchen tini gombi kaps dzogchen ge thorgar zya tini zu gombi yore zi thorgar.
Because during in dzogchen practice there is a stage of practice called toggle.
Tini thorgar to tini gombi kaps tini khorang ge sem ge nala la de sawani sam ge yo mare zi ti sam nyeng ge mare zi khorang ge o tini ngepe na la den tini yin sam nga so sem ge nala tini sawani khorang sam ge yo mare zi.
And in this practice, there is no visualization of deities whatsoever. There is no thinking that the deity looks like this or that. And in Dzogchen practice, there is no looking at a tanka. Indeed, you're not allowed to look at a tanka. However, by through Dzogchen practice, by arriving at a realization of Buddhahood, then this Buddhahood manifests itself externally. And the deities that manifest at this time manifest naturally, they arise naturally.
And
the deities that appear at this stage have no connection to those that are drawn by tanka painters or the way the mind visualizes or imagines different deities to look. At this time, due to a really great realization of Buddha nature in the inner mind, there is an external appearance or an external manifestation of that Buddha nature that appears.
And
to look at it, it seems as if it's something that one can see with one's eyes. But in actual fact, it's not something that's being manifested or appearing to the eyes. It is appearing to the mind. And the reason that we can say that it's not that these deities that manifest don't exist externally is because at this point because the meditator can see them with their eyes closed. And the deities that emerge to practitioners at this stage appear in a very similar form to the way that many deities are represented in Tanka. For example, Vajrasattva, the form of Vajrasattva.
nang chu te pe na jagar la tini jagar ke tini thanga chu na jagar ke matan ra po yore dong de jagar ke matan ra po yore
usually the thangkas representations that come from India resemble Indian people
tini po tari po tan ra po ta ja ja tan ra po tini yore te yin na tini shir tang ke tini ayup ti korang tong ko thola tini yeng ge re
And even though Tibetan thangkas resemble Tibetan people and Chinese people, Chinese thangkas and deities resemble Chinese people, generally speaking, the way that the form that deities are represented in is the way that they are. And so if any of you wish to draw a painter, it's fine for you to render the deities looking like Western people. However, general form of the deity is the same, is universal.
Sholola yone tinim thong yore ting mi zupa mare jmon khang ko zupa mare nga so sem ko nala jamba mare kang ya mare khorang rang sik shong are
However during Dzogchen practice where due to a profound realization of Buddha nature there is an external appearance of the deity at this time the deity is not it's not drawn by hand it's not fabricated it's a natural appearance So it's this form of the deity that we need to meditate on, and in terms of the method of meditating, we begin with a tanka. And during the process of generation stage practice, there are a few points to keep in mind. So when we meditate, the clarity, the greater clarity with which we are able to visualize the deity, the better. So if we are able to visualize it with the same clarity with which it is represented in the tanka, down to the details of the black of the pupil and the whiteness of the deity's eyes, then this is very good. And so this is the first principle, the principle of clarity. And the second principle is purity. So there are three key principles here, clarity, purity, and stability.
pena jewa ta tho ta tindi lha mambo gandi gumna nga so yetum kal ha mambo gumna tindi lha ti demba yin samne nga so lha ti tindi mung ngoma ta wo tindi go demba tindi so lo la yo samna tindi go ma re
and so with the demba ba
demba
demba
dindra
so the third of these principles stability relates to the deity. So the many deities that we meditate on, some peaceful, same wrathful, to think that or to believe that these deities truly exist out there externally is not okay.
Like a rainbow.
So we need to understand them in their purity like a rainbow.
And
And when we look at a rainbow and in the and its different beautiful colors, then it appears very very nice.
이나티 쳐드르몽보다 되니 옷 그더니 되니 나와리 마다바 동그 돈에 가서 락바 가라나 락사요 말이지.
But in actual fact, what this all the rainbow is a an illusion created by the light striking many different droplets of water. In actual fact, it's intangible. We can't reach out and touch it. So it's important that we understand that the deity is no more than an external appearance of our Buddha nature, that it is not truly he existent. It's important that we understand the emptiness of the deity. So that's the second of these qualities, so purity, clarity, now purity.
Then is somebody, then if tanzi, then if tambu, the tambu, the gangrela, the resina, tangazo ticumla, then a narang rankum woti, penangazo dojis and wagumna, or tangarangatini woti, dojis and warang yin, sambandao, or narang ranka simging woti, dojis and wayinzi, dojis and pazinayang, or tangaranka simgung wo deshakyam bori, ti, nangwari mato pajambachung, yomare, then the
So the third quality of generation stage practice, stability. So with stability, we mean here the view in Vajrayana that the essence of our mind is that of the deity. So here we need stability in that view. So if we are meditating on Vajrasattva, then we need to have a stable belief, a stable view that our essence is inseparable from that of Vajrasattva. So what is required here is stability in that view.
The name that then you go not payon category, don't that jim jim or category zena, then you also the need then you gumni, kerum de gum, rang tin il hyember, gumna, then you rang tin in korwa and la kiva mambo, then you kiva lea, then you watch up the tinima zandro, or is it watch up the zani.
And so you might wonder what the benefit of meditating in this way is, or what the result of meditating in this way is. Well, by meditating on the deity as oneself, then this has the capacity to dispel the karmic imprints of previous lifetimes.
Then also, do person tapai na tini tomba nyata nyarji ta tini dagme ta teso yin rambo gumni tini ngatun korwa na la tini kya ga wachak ti mepachi ga yores yin rambo gum go res.
In the Mahayana teachings, at the level of the vehicle of the perfections, we need to meditate for a long time on emptiness and compassion and no self. And it's only after meditating on these for a long time that we're able to dispel the imprints, the karmic imprints of past lives. In the Vajrayana tradition, the Vajrayana tradition takes the method of meditating on oneself as Vajrasattva as the method for dispelling these karmic, past karmic imprints. But in terms of their ultimate goal or ultimate purpose, both approaches are the same. That is, allow us escape from the constant cycle of rebirth.
Then in Korwinala Mandro,
So yesterday, as we mentioned, when we talk about leaving samsara, well, actually, we need to stay in samsara. But what we mean here by leaving samsara is not residing in samsara by the force or through the force of through the force of karma and afflictions, because in this state, we won't be able to be of real benefit to other beings.
Susurang dorji senwa tindi gumna tani dorji senwa til ha yundun susurang desar nyam bodi ta par chexer 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 ro re zi tela tani zug zi re ta yong su zug ba tar tar ta ra boyna yu yu re ta ina ta sarum thung ga ma tindi gumna tani chexer chexer ro ne tani yong su zug ba tani na yong ga re te phan tho yo re.
And there is the other benefit of meditating on oneself as the deity, say as Vajrasattva, that the qualities of the deity can be refined in one's own mind. So even though one does to begin with in originality already possess these qualities by meditating on oneself as the deity, these qualities can be refined and perfected.
Jesus tini nga tso ta kirim de mangpo gomna tini zorm gomthwaya la phantku yores.
And then the benefit of doing a lot of generation stage practice is that it prepares us for or matures us for completion stage practice.
Tini tela mun zegre tini ta zo mun zegi te so sombodi nga tso
And so we refer to this as ripening or maturing. So these three principles are purifying, perfecting, and ripening. And we talk about these as the result or the function of generation stage practice. And there's a very simple method of doing perfect generation stage practice.
Then nga chon cham da tin ding dup pick up s tin in cham dug ya che de rang de ni sa gum ya ngang dong ya tin de ge tab di tab di tin so jong chi ji ore de nyam lim chi ji ore.
And this is a really simplified approach to studying and practicing deity yoga in a retreat context. So what I have taught on this morning is like a structure or an overall framework of Vajrayana practice. But in terms of the actual details of practice, this is something that everyone needs to continue to study step by step. So the first thing that we need to do is learn about the structure or the overall framework. And then we need to actually implement this structure in practice. And if we do this, then within this life, we will see good results. So we've reached the end of our teaching this morning, so we're going to leave it there, but we have finished our teaching on the generation stage practice. And we'll end now with a dedication.
Page 5 of the handouts, the short dedication and aspiration.
Sonandaye
tanjo zumbanya donne ni bedana bhaje kigana je vamonde bai tebendole roa do jo Yanda Lamadam Dharmi Juji Wala Nujodhi Sada Lamji Yanda Razodhi Luji Njanga Gumbam Yerto Shoy. 라소 데니 드지체 저긴.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.